Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord, Savior, and leader, Jesus Christ. Amen. Back in 1989, when I was in kindergarten in Mrs. Pelton's class, one thing that I remember quite clearly was her systematic choosing of line leaders. Every week, one boy and one girl were chosen to be the line leader for the entire week. They got to showcase their immense leadership skills by leading our classroom down the hallway to the music room, the gymnasium, or the cafeteria. And back in those days, my best friend was a guy named Johnny Sheffers. Oh, what a guy. We both grew up on dairy farms and were huge basketball fans. And I remember when Johnny Sheffers was the chosen line leader for the week, I did everything I could to get as close to the front of the line as possible because I wanted to follow him. On the other hand, when, say, Mark Braun was the line leader for the week, I was content to move toward the back of the line. I had no need to follow Mark Braun. All the other boys in the class could jockey to the front of the line to follow him. This is exactly what we should expect from five-year-old boys. Immature, petty reasons for following this person but not that person. And it's exactly what we should expect from a childish church as well. In the reading for today, Paul chastises the childish Corinthian church for behaving like infants. They're bickering and arguing about their favorites, who they follow. Is it Paul or Apollos? In chapter 1, Paul adds Cephas and Christ to the mix. And Paul has no patience for this. He asks, "Did Paul die for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul?" Of course not. Christ died for them. He saved them. The Corinthian church were infants in the faith, but they knew that. They had come to believe through the gospel message that Paul proclaimed to them, and they had continued in their faith through Apollos' continued teaching. They knew that they were baptized into Christ, not into Paul, and sure, there was some confusion on the resurrection that Paul has to clear up in chapter 15, but the Corinthian church believed. And yet, there is this jealousy and strife among them. Johnny Sheffers and I remained good friends through grade school and high school. We ate lunch together nearly every day for 13 years. And I remember he used to make fun of me for always mutilating my cardboard milk containers. You know those ones that you have to bend just perfectly to open? Yeah, I still can't do that. And he's one of the main reasons I got involved in basketball. I still remember our first game back in fifth grade when we played against St. Philip's Catholic School and we won 19-17, a real barn burner. But Johnny probably scored most of those points now that I think about it. And I often think about him when I'm riding in the seminary basketball van on our way to preacher away games. Playing on the seminary preacher team is a unique experience. But the van rides are really the best. We often regale each other with random stories and ask each other silly questions about things like, who's the best NBA draft class? 1984, in my opinion. Or, if you could only eat at one fast food restaurant for the rest of your life, which one would you choose? Chipotle and Chick-fil-A are acceptable answers. But then we start debating if those two are actually fast food, and it just gets ridiculous. But we all have our favorites. The basketball van is usually lighthearted and silly. But of course, we also talk about the seminary. And when we talk about the seminary, we talk about our favorite and, yes, our least favorite professors. Registration was only a few weeks ago, and I'm sure some of you forgot to register in the first 5 seconds of availability and were forced to take a professor or a class that you didn't prefer. We all have our favorites. Or perhaps, as a professor, you have a group of students this quarter that won't talk, that don't get it, and keep asking questions that should have been sorted out in Lutheran mind. Perhaps you long for that class you had 2, 10, or 20 years ago where the questions were perceptive and the students actually remembered their Hebrew. We all have our favorites. call day is 72 days away, and your reaction to your placement for vicarage or a call may be one of joy or disappointment. Likewise, the church calling you may have preferred that other guy they interviewed. It's hard not to have favorites. But Paul wasn't too happy with the Corinthian church for having favorites. The Corinthians had experienced Paul's teaching and Apollos' teaching, and some preferred Paul and some preferred Apollos. But this became contentious. As Paul notes, there was jealousy and strife among the Corinthians. "I follow Paul" and "I follow Apollos" were not innocent comments. They were damaging to the church of Christ. And they were a fundamental misunderstanding of who was leading. If we are honest with ourselves, we do this all the time. It might not be spoken with these exact words, but how often have we been guilty of saying, "I follow Irenaeus," or "I follow Augustine," "I follow Luther," or "I follow Walther"? Each professor here at the seminary is beloved by some students, and we continuously say things like, "I follow Kolb," or "I follow Chloe," "I follow Biermann," or "I follow Bodie." How guilty have we been of downplaying our sister institutions, following Seward, but not Irvine, St. Louis, but not Fort Wayne? After all, it's hard not to have favorites. Like the Corinthians, we have jealousy and strife among us. Like the Corinthians, we too often act like infants in the faith, only fit to drink milk and never be fed with meat. The Corinthians were infants in the faith. They were new Christians. Much of what they're hearing in this epistle, they probably had never heard before. They hadn't yet grown the teeth to chew on the solid food of the faith. We, on the other hand, are not infants. Many of us have been Christians for decades, baptized into the font when we were infants. We should be men and women of the faith, chewing on the solid food of the faith. But what has happened? We have chosen to perpetually suck on the candy of conflict and guzzle gallons of sugary gossip. We have chosen to rot our teeth on jealousy and strife. If we are unable to handle the solid food of the faith, it is not because we are infants. It's because our teeth have fallen out. When one says, "I follow Kolb," and another, "I follow Chloe," we are being merely human. We are being driven by the flesh. We are being men, and that's not a good thing. After all, what is Kolb and what is Chloe? What is Paul and what is Apollos? Servants through whom you believed, teachers through whom you were fed and watered. No matter your preferences for professors, God makes sure you are getting what you need. After all, Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." God is continuously providing the growth for us mere humans. The first humans, Adam and Eve, lived in a garden where God provided the growth. They had work to do, naming animals and tending the garden, but they knew that everything around them was God's gift to them, that God had empowered the trees to grow and bear fruit. When sin entered the world, that growth was stunted. Because of Adam, the ground is cursed, and Adam is relegated to a painful work that yields thorns and thistles. And yet, despite the pain and the sweat of his face, Adam will still eat bread in the plants of the field, because God will still provide the growth in this stunted world of sin. God still takes care of us, his creatures, even when we act like merely human infants in the faith. God takes care of us by sending us a truly human, sinless infant. God takes care of us by sending his Son, Jesus Christ. all creation had followed Adam and Eve. They were the line leaders of the human race, and we followed them into sin, death, and the influence of the devil. But Jesus came, and he followed Adam and Eve, and he followed them into the temptation of Satan, but Jesus overcame the temptation of Satan, living a sinless life in perfect obedience to his Father. And then Jesus followed Adam and Eve into death, but Jesus overcame death, bolting to the front of the line of the human race and being the first to rise from the dead. Jesus was planted in the tomb as a dead seed, but God gave a new kind of growth. God raised Jesus up to a new, incorruptible, imperishable life. Jesus has called us to follow him. We follow him into the grave. We wait for the day when he will return and we can follow him out of the grave into that new, incorruptible, imperishable life where God will provide perfect growth, unaffected by sin, no longer warped by Satan and unbound from death. We await a new creation where we will not produce thorns and thistles, jealousy and strife, where we will not eat in pain or by the sweat of our face. We await a new creation where God will provide fruit and unity without pain. We follow Jesus because no one else knows the way out of the grave. Only Jesus. We long to follow him to such resurrection perfection. When I was in kindergarten, I didn't realize that I wasn't really following Johnny Sheffers when I was second in line. I wasn't really following Mark Braun either when I was at the back of the line. I wasn't following any of my classmates. Everyone, even the chosen line leaders, were actually following our teacher, Mrs. Pelton. She was the one leading us to the music room, the gymnasium, or the cafeteria. She was the one in the front of the line, and we were all thereby following her. We were all on the same path, going to the same destination. My childish ignorance at wanting to follow Johnny Sheffers was just as foolish as the Corinthians wanting to follow Paul or Apollos. Because Paul and Apollos were both following Christ. Following Paul and Apollos meant following Christ. We're all on the same path, following Christ on the way of the cross. And we will one day follow Jesus into death, and when he returns, we will follow him out of the tomb into the new creation, where we will no longer be driven by a body that is driven by the flesh and infantile thinking, but we will be raised with a body that is driven by the Holy Spirit. And then we will no longer be merely human, but we will be truly human, following in the footsteps of our truly human Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Please stand as we sing hymn 921.